Kind of have a little, I don't, I mean, I have, it's one thing I never wanted to be was just, you know, show up on YouTube, show up on Facebook, just preach, that's it. I have the overwhelming desire in my heart is everybody that responds or makes a comment, I respond back and I answer. And then the next thing, you know, they want to know if they can get in touch with me. And I say, of course, yeah, you know, get in touch with me. If they go to my website, the phone number is there, whatever. So I have found myself, you know, embracing so many different relationships from people all over the place. Australia, Singapore, England, Texas, Chicago, I mean, all over. And I love them so much. It's like they're part of my, you know, they're like a part of my church. I love them as much as I love anybody that, like, attends our church that's there in person. I'm getting to know them, and I'm getting to love them. And yesterday, I got a phone call from Peter, and he broke my heart, you know, because he said he can hardly talk. And he's letting me know that, Pastor, he doesn't have many more days left. He's dying. And he just wanted to thank me, you know, for all I've done for him. And, you know, my message is, he said he wished he would have learned, if he would have learned what was being taught in them years ago, because he says his life is just too riddled with guilt and shame and condemnation. And he hasn't been doing enough. He hasn't been standing enough. He hasn't been, you know, using his authority correctly, whatever. And it's all him. You know, he hasn't been taught that he is fully qualified, you know, that he does have God's full approval, that it's not up to him. It's not his toil. It's not his work. It's not his effort. It was Jesus's. It's just resting in his love, resting in his qualification and his righteousness. That's it. You know, there's nothing for you to do. You can't do anything wrong because there's nothing for you to do. And he said it was so hard. It's so hard for me to understand that or comprehend that, because I've been listening, you know, and he could hardly talk. And I said, Peter, you call me up every single day. You better call me up every day, because I want to know you're alive. And I send him worship songs and worship music. But my heart, you know, so many people. And, you know, he told me, he said he called a favorite prayer line of ours that many of us call. And this was the other day. And he said, Pastor Lenny, they were so different from what you told me or what you're telling me or how you're ministering to me. You know, I tried to tell him where I was. And I guess he's only been given a few more days. But he said all they do was, listen, you have to use your authority. You have to command. You know, I want to reach through the phone and just slap people. You know, I really do. It's like, you don't think he has been? You don't think he's been speaking to the mouth? You don't think he's been, you know, doing all these things you need to tell people they have to do, they need to do, they must do? You know, it's like he's, I mean, how do you just keep getting off just telling people? It's like, hey, it's your fault. You're not using your authority. Hey, it's your fault. You're not standing. Hey, it's your fault. God has done everything he's going to do. Right? How many times have we heard that? God has done everything he's going to do. Right? Do we hear that? Right? It's not up to God anymore. God has done. Can you hear me, Jessica? Because you're not nodding. Nina, you're not nodding. Jolene, have you heard that? Have you heard those things?
Amen.
Right? You heard those things? But you know what? I was just going over some scriptures with Pastor Lori. And I was going over Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and it says, God is able to do far beyond what you could dare ask or think, okay? God is able to do far beyond what you can ask him. So in other words, Paul is saying there, you can still ask him, because he's still in the doing business. He's not just in the done it all business, okay? He's still in the doing business. This is why the Apostle Paul says, look, What does it say, Apostle Paul saying in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, right? Therefore, with thanksgiving, right, pray, whatever, let your requests your requests be made known unto God. Well, wait a second, Paul. Why are you telling us to make our requests known unto God? Because God has done everything he's going to do. You know, God is not done. He said, come boldly to my throne of grace. Come boldly to my throne of grace where you're going to get mercy from me. And then as you come, you're going to leave with a more grace, with a more understanding of grace, with more grace for your time of need. So God is not finished yet. He's not finished doing. He's not finished giving. He's a giving God. He's a giver God. And, you know, I think that's this gets me mad. Now, you guys know what gets me mad. It gets me mad. Hey, Jessica, God's already done it, okay? He's already done it. He's already done everything. Now, it's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. That's not what grace is. That's not the message of grace. Okay? Yeah. Okay? We can speak. Yeah, we do speak. Yeah, we do believe. All right? But until we've arrived, we got God's grace. And he tells us to come and he tells us to ask. Because he's not finished doing and he's not finished giving. You know, and so my heart went out to him, and I spent as much time as I could with him today on the phone before I had to go. And I don't know if he's going to call me tomorrow, but he don't. I'm calling him. I'm calling him every day because I'm still believing. I sent him some worship music, you know, that he could just sit there and worship and put his eyes on Jesus and fix his eyes on Jesus. Listen about Jesus. And I sent him my favorite songs, you know. It just so happens that I'm a Charity Gayle fan. I just love Charity Gayle. Her music is just... So I sent him a whole bunch of Charity Gayle music. And that's all Paul tells us to do. Keep hearing about Jesus. Keep hearing about the Christ, because faith comes as you hear about Christ. And fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes. Hear about him. Fix your eyes on him. Fix your eyes on him. Hear about him. You know, and why? Because faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, the love that Jesus has for us, it says faith is energized. Faith worketh by love. So, I mean, so those two things, you know, love and righteousness. Love, can't see the book. There we go. Oh, it disappeared. Now it's back. Faith, love and righteousness. And I've been going back and forth with the my friend, I won't tell you who it is, but his initials are BB, and I'm telling him all about my book and what I'm trying to, you know, convey to the body of Christ, and I'm hoping that he's reading it. You know, he's reading it. I know he's read the book, you know, because we have to remove, as the body of Christ, we have to remove, okay, Isaiah chapter 53 says that the Father looked upon the travail of Jesus. And he was satisfied. He was satisfied. Jesus satisfied the Father. Okay? Jesus was the Father's sacrifice and offering. And it says he looked upon Jesus, the travail of his son, Jesus, and he was satisfied. And that word travail, it means work, effort, and toiling. The Father looked at the work and effort and toiling of his son Jesus, and it says, and he was satisfied. Well, if he was satisfied, that means there's nothing left for us to do in order to satisfy. You follow what I'm saying? And so now we embrace our righteousness, and this is why Paul, and we're gonna see this in Pergamum. We're gonna see this in Pergamum. I thought Paul said some mean and nasty things about the Jews. John says some mean and nasty things about the Jews in this letter to Smyrna that we're going to see. What was I just saying on?
John said some mean things, so did Paul.
Yeah, but I said something else before that. I forget. Anyway.
About another church.
What?
You were talking about...
Oh, forget it. You're not even listening to me.
I am too.
So I forgot what I was going to say. I forgot what I was saying because my mind just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. But We're going to look at the church at Smyrna, and it's just amazing. It was rampant throughout that time of Christianity, and it's still rampant in the church today. It is still rampant in the church today. On Wednesday nights, I'm teaching, and we have about a dozen people at Zoom. Mm-hmm. We got the church people there, and then people that are following me on YouTube, you know, want to know if they can somehow be involved. And so I send them a Zoom invitation for Wednesday nights. And I think we got about a dozen people from various places all over that are joining in on the Zooms. And I'm teaching on Galatians. And, you know, Galatians is an amazing book, but most people don't understand why Paul wrote it. Why did you have to write, I'm not ashamed of the, why did you have to write, well, he did write that. He wrote, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He wrote that in Romans. But why in Galatians did he have to write, listen, if another man preaches another gospel, a different gospel, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Why did he have to do that? Why did he have to preach that? If an angel preaches another gospel, let him be accursed.
Right? Pastor, because James was undoing it.
We know that. Yeah. Because you've been taught well, my young Padawan. And then when he says, if an angel, why? Because the angel brought the law, you know. And then Paul goes on to say the third thing he says is, listen, if I add to it or take away from it, you know, I'm going to fall under the same curses. So, but and why? Because there were multiple gospels being preached. There were two gospels being preached, and it's evident in Scripture. And my goodness, if people would just realize that New Testament doesn't equal New Covenant, and that there was an intermingling, and that you have to rightly divide, we would be in such better shape. We would be so better off. I had a member of my church, and Amber, she's not with us tonight, but Amber, she was telling me that she answered somebody according to the gospel of grace, all right? And they came back at her. This is amazing. And they called her the devil. She has a devil spirit in her. You know, she is definitely not preaching God's message, God's word, God's gospel, you know, and they really, you know, telling her, you need to repent. You need to get exercised, whatever. I'm saying people are so fervent for the gospel of works. It's amazing because it's prevalent in the New Testament. And this is why, you know, Paul addressed them how he addressed. And John, you know, we're going to see that, we're going to see this in his letter to Smyrna. This is the second, I think this is the second church. We did Ephesus last time we got together. And now we're doing Smyrna. We're doing Smyrna. And it's amazing that we're doing Smyrna and we're talking about the book of Revelations and trying to get a grab a hold of, you know, really what do we believe of for end times, you know, how close are we to the Great Tribulation or the Tribulation, or how close are we to, you know, the rapture, and of course this past week, I mean, my phone is being blitzed with all kinds of messages now once again. Hey, what do you think now, Pastor? What do you think now? What do you think about this? Earthquakes. What do you think now? Huh? The eclipse, the 3 days of darkness that the Bible talks about. This is going to be the first day. Are you getting ready? The second day of darkness is going to be the power grid's going to go down, da-da-da. And here it comes again. It's been coming since 1977. It came before then, but I can only remember it since 1977. You know, but here it comes. And I have, you know, people that I know that are dear to me and people that are, you know, really care about me. Make sure you take out money from the bank. Make sure you have a stack of cash because the banks are going to go down. They're going to fail, da-da-da. All the grids going down, you know. Go to the stores right now. Load up on your toilet paper. Load up on your paper towel. Load up on, you know what, get a whole bunch of, get at least 3 to 6 months worth of food, you know, and you know, maybe get some silver, some gold, and you know, and then let me know. We did it. We're heeding the warnings. You know, earthquakes, the earthquakes. When was the last time you seen earthquakes? You know, when was the last time you see earthquakes? The eclipse, you know? And it's like, even my wife said to me, you know, let's go out. She went outside to look at the eclipse and I stayed inside on the couch, you know? She was like, don't you want to see that? Don't you know that's the only time in our lifetime we're going to see that, you know? Because this is what people are saying. This is it. And I said, honey, I've seen other eclipses before. I remember the teacher getting the box and getting the aluminum foil because we couldn't look at it. I remember we've had eclipses. And sure enough, she Googled it. Yeah, we've had other eclipses and we're going to have more eclipses, you know. But it just seems like religion is just sitting there waiting to jump on something, because religion is good at keeping people, you know, in fear. You know, that's why the movies came out. You know, the late great Planet Earth, Left Behind. Did you see Left Behind, Jolene? Did you ever think you were going to, I don't want to be left behind. No, I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be left behind. You know, I used to watch them and I used to say, oh God, I'm not going to. I remember the ones where they were in the line for the guillotine. I'm like, Lord, I can't. No, Lord, take me. I'm afraid. I don't like pain. I'm scared, you know. And you know what? Because I guess there's two things that sell. Fear and wrath and love and grace. You know, I choose love and grace. And it's amazing. I just drove past a church today that has several thousand people. And they have multiple locations. And I'm like, they're not love and grace. They're wrath. I mean, they're law. I mean, I'm like, do people really want that? And I remember one day I was visiting with an awesome, wonderful friend of mine, you know, who's in the ministry. And I was telling him about love and grace and the power of grace and the power of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And the person, they actually told me, these are Christians, and they actually told me, your way is too hard. Your way is too hard. And then they said, people want to be told what to do. I said, really? I said, Lori, maybe I need to start telling people what they need to do. You know, maybe I need to use the law. Maybe then, you know, whatever. But I have to admit, although, I'll be honest with you, New Life Ministry, church, whatever, as a whole, it's not really growing like I thought it would grow. But, you know, YouTube, we went from, and we're little guys on the block, you know, we went from like 30 followers to now we're over 400, you know, in a short matter of time. I was just listening to my daughter and Julianne Hartman on Healing Journeys today. And Julianne was promoting me Fridays at 12 o'clock. And, you know, my daughter called me up. She said, Dad, this doesn't happen. I said, well, what doesn't happen? She said, you have over 2,000 views on Healing Journeys today. And she said, guest speakers don't get near that many views. They just don't. And I'm like, you know what? People are listening to the message. They're hearing it and they're sharing it. And the messages I'm getting back, where have you been? Where have you been all our lives? This is the true message, the true gospel of grace. Where has it been? Where has this been hiding? How come nobody else is preaching this? And they're all awesome. I mean, I've never one after another, after another, after another, after another. So God is, he's getting the word out. And Carly and Ashley Terades are going to be coming down. They contacted me. They're coming to my place. And I know that I'm going to be in front of their platform. And they have 25,000 subscribers, but they're going to get to know Pastor Lenny too. And you know, they're going to get to know they're not going to hear this, you need to. They're not going to hear you have to. They're not going to hear you have an obligation. They're not going to hear that. They're going to hear you qualify. You fully qualify. Faith in Jesus Christ, that's it. You're fully qualified. Faith in Jesus Christ. You're fully approved of by God. You're fully loved by God. You're at full peace with God. You're in full right standing with God. Okay? Period. Just like Jesus Christ. And a joint heir, just like Jesus Christ. What do you have to do? Nothing. Faith in Jesus Christ. And this is Paul's message. Paul's message is stand firm in the faith. stand in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. And every time he spoke that, he was referring to faith in Jesus Christ for righteousness. Because when you understand the love of God and you receive of the love of God, all right, the abundance of his grace, Romans chapter 5, verse 17, the abundance of his grace, his love, okay, and the gift of righteousness. That's it, the gift of righteousness. Not your works to become righteous, the gifts of righteousness. Then you will rule and reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. It's through the receiving of his love and grace and your righteousness. That's it. And man, if we would just get that message right, I think you'd see, I just think you see explosions of the miraculous in the church, in the body of Christ today. So I asked my daughter, my wife, my beautiful wife, Pastor Lori, do I talk about grace? Do I talk about grace? Do I talk about righteousness too much? Should I talk about other things? And then she says, I can't hear enough. You can't talk about it enough. And then in my book, if you look at that picture of the big steak being cooked on a grill, all right, that's right after the verse from Hebrews chapter 5, I think it's verse 12, where it says, you know what? You guys are still into milk now. You know, you haven't been able to move beyond milk, all right? But by now, you should be seasoned veterans, seasoned teachers of the true meat of the word of God, which is righteousness. So you can't talk about righteousness enough, because righteousness is going to be attacked. Your righteousness is going to be attacked every single day. It's going to be made into you having a work, you needing to work, and you needing to do, rather than you are, you can't, and you have. So I'm always going to talk about grace and righteousness. And it just so happens that in this portion of scripture about Smyrna, you're going to see it again. Have you all printed up the notes? Two people have. Okay, my wife has. Three people. All right.
Four.
All right, so, you know, I try to put as much of the notes on there as I can. But we're going to read from Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Just 8, 9, 10, 11. 8, 9, 10, 11. Four verses. I'm getting ready. We're going to be going down south in a couple of weeks, and so I'm getting ready, you know, for the water and everything. So Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 and 11, it says this. And unto the pastor, the minister, the Episcopalian, the leadership angel of the Church of Smyrna. That's who he's writing to. Angel is just angelos. It's the messenger. So this letter is to the pastors. Or if they don't call themselves pastors, Episcopalian leaders, leadership. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and now is alive. I know your works, and I know your tribulation, and I know your poverty, but nope, you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are synagogue, the synagogue of Satan. Woo! Jesus said that. The synagogue of Satan. Wow. And when he's saying that they know they are Jews, Paul is primarily writing this book to the Jewish believers, the Jewish believers who are supposed to be believers in Jesus Christ. So when this is saying they are not really Jews, it's meaning, no, they're not really believing in Jesus Christ. They must be believing in something else. And we know what that something else is, because it came from Jerusalem. Fear none of those things which thou shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So some little things about Smyrna. Smyrna was the second largest and reputedly the most beautiful city in the provincial Asia at its time. And in fact, all the churches that are mentioned in the book of Revelation, where it says, you know, heed this warning or your candle is going to be removed, this is the only church that's still in existence today. This is the only one. The other churches are no longer in existence, which is kind of, I think, kind of neat. Smyrna was the city in was the first city of Asia to build a temple to Roma, the spirit of Rome, and that was in BC 195. And in John's day, when John was writing this, once you were dead, and now you're alive. So what is John saying there? Okay, he's making reference to the fact that in 195 BC, it was it was devastated. It was left in shambles. It was left in ruins, and then there became a resurrection of the city, to where when John is writing this, it's one of the prominent cities that I was just talking about. It had been destroyed 700 years earlier. It had laid in ruins for over 300 years. And then it was resurrected and it was rebuilt and it became modernized and it became, you know, a beautiful city. So that's kind of what the reference to, you were dead, now you came back to life. It's making a reference to, just like Jesus. Then again, he was dead and now he's alive. Talking about that. And they were experiencing tribulation. They were experiencing tribulation. And as you read this right here, it's important to understand that this tribulation wasn't coming from Rome. I mean, this tribulation like wasn't coming from, I don't know, conquering people or this tribulation was coming from the synagogue of Satan. This tribulation that they were facing was coming from the Jews who weren't really Jews, who weren't really believers. This tribulation, this persecution was coming from the hands of the Jews, which is just utterly amazing. Can you believe that you can have a faction? Remember what Paul said, if any man preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. So can you believe that there's another faction that is so fervent for legalism and for the law of Moses, that they are so fervent for that they are going to put believers in Jesus Christ, right? Faith in Jesus Christ are righteous, that they are going to put them to persecution, that they are going to put them to prison, that they are going to put them, you know, to beatings and whatnot. And when you listen to that, okay, you listen and you hear Paul tell Timothy, we went over this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, therefore, Timothy, be ready to endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, those hardships were not coming from Rome. They were not coming from Rome. They were coming from the Jews, so-called Jewish believers. And you know what? Today we're still under the attack of the religious. We're still under the attack of those who are living in the mixture. We're still under the attack that you guys are living in some faulty gospel, you know? You guys, you're living in a greasy grace or a sloppy grace or whatever, a grimy grace. I'm sure you've heard that. And, they just don't understand. They don't. And if you ask them, are you righteous? They say, no, I'm not righteous. There's none righteous. No, not one. You know right there they're in the wrong covenant. You know right there they're living in mixture. You know right there they don't understand their new creation realities. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, right? Therefore, being planted with him in his death, likewise, we're planted with him in his resurrection to newness of life. Therefore, Jesus was delivered for our transgressions, and he was raised for our declaration of righteousness. Therefore, being declared righteous, we have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. God made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wow. Yeah, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but now all all, the very next verse, all have been freely justified, declared righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And I remember, I've shared this before, Pastor Lori and I were leaders of the entire, what's the word it called again? Usher crew. We were the head usher. We had multiple groups underneath us. And when we came privy to this revelation, we would try sharing it. And I had certain people, you know, like, you're righteous. You're the righteousness of God. And they were like, I am righteous. But then all of a sudden, this one man who was on the church board, it was a leader in the church, I would be telling him, I'm like, Lori, they're getting it. They're getting it. And one day I was speaking righteousness over him. And he said, but I'm not righteous. I'm not righteous. And I'm like, man, they don't get it. They just don't get it. They don't get it. And then they attack us for believing in the wrong gospel, for not believing in the true gospel. I'm used to it, but nothing's going to move me anymore. So, and it also reminds of what Paul, where you've seen this Smyrna, the church there, what was going on there, and the warnings, whatever. And Jesus exhorting them, okay, you know, stand strong, stand strong. This is like Paul, stand strong, stand strong, stand strong. Okay? And you hear Paul. Okay, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 10. Remember, he was under attack. There was a buffet from Satan, you know, so he didn't get too haughty or too prideful. And it was following him wherever he went. And it was the Judaizers. And he was under great persecution. They were whipping him. They were tying him to a stake and tying him down and then whipping him. 40 stripes minus one, because according to the law, you cannot whip a man more than 40 times. So in order to make sure they didn't get 40 or they didn't miscount or whatever, they stopped at 39, always giving them that one leeway, one. So it was 40 minus 39. This is why you hear Paul say that twice. He received the 40 stripes minus one. And then he was beaten with rods and he was assaulted and he was stoned to death. Stoned to death. Wow. For being a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you see Paul, and it's like, this is the persecution that they're under. And in fact, you know, when we see the word Satan right away, you know, we think it's the devil, but no, he's not talking about the devil here. And so as we're reading this, okay, you're looking at some words here. Tribulation, okay? That word tribulation is talking about affliction. It's talking about, you know, anguish. It's talking about persecution, trouble. What's amazing is whenever we are told that we are going to face tribulation or go through tribulation, sickness and disease is never attached to tribulation. That's very important and that's really significant. And the same thing is true here, that yes, they're encouraged to stand strong through this tribulation. And what would be the standing strong? Okay, you know what? I believe in the law of Moses. I'll adhere to the law of Moses. I'll live by the Ten Commandments. I'll get circumcised. I'll make sure my family's circumcised. My young men, they're all circumcised. You know what? I'll start. You know, no, stand strong. Endure these hardships. Enjoy this tribulation. And even when Paul talks about it, it never, ever, ever is equated with sickness or disease. And that's one of the things that who people believe in the sovereignty of God, where he decides who and he decides when. Okay? And they say, listen, we're going to be in periods of tribulation. We're going to be given, you know, going through times of tribulation. And it's important to understand, they don't understand it, but we do. And in love, sometimes the Holy Spirit will give us an open door to share it. Tribulation is never equal or equated to sickness or disease. Amen? And then what's interesting here too, it's another part of our mindset. And the Lord has been helping me with this part of my mindset. There's certain parts of my mindset where I'm strongly developed as I'm being renewed, and then there's others where I'm being, you know, more fully renewed. And one of them is in the area of finances. And I thank God because he led me, you know, or he put someone into my life by the name of Ed Duran. And Ed Duran has been kind of ministering to me about, you know, about finances, about financial blessing, about, you know what, this is the least of those things. I mean, if you can't trust God in the finances, you can't trust God in the least of these things, how are you going to believe him for, you know, the bigger things, you know? And that's amazing. I believed him for the bigger things, the cancer, and it's like, and the COVID, but, you know, now I got to believe him for, you know, the smaller things. And I think it, but that's a mindset. Do you understand that this is a mindset that you see, this is more about end times. This is more than about end times. This is about current days, current times, right thinking. And how many times do you hear, you know what? I believe in a gospel, but I don't believe in your gospel. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. I don't, you know what? You talk about too much about prosperity this, too much about prosperity that. So anyway, when this word poverty, this word, poverty that's written here, all right, it says, I know your works, your tribulation, your poverty. I know your poverty. This is amazing. He's attaching poverty, you know, to them in a mental capacity, in a state of the mental believing, because he's using the word poverty in the Greek. It means, you know, condition of one's destitute of riches and abundance. Okay, but then he goes right after that to say, no, I know you're rich. I know you're rich. Now here's where it pays to know what the words are in the Greek, because most Christians who don't believe in prosperity will all allude to being blessed, you know, all blessings. It means spiritual blessings. Spiritual. They are rich spiritually. They have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't be any more rich than that. Holy Spirit. They are rich spiritually. And there are many words for the word rich. In fact, Paul uses the same word that's used here, where Paul says, he became poor that you might be made rich. This is the same word rich. Now, this word rich has nothing to do with the spiritual, which is amazing. This word rich is ploseos, and it means wealthy. It means abounding with. It means wealthy, and it means abounding in material resources, not spiritual. You see what I'm saying? Material resources, abounding, abundantly supplied. So this message to Jesus, to the church, is, you know what? You keep thinking you're poor. You're not poor. You're rich. You are rich. You are abounding in material resources. You are abounding and you are abundantly supplied. You know what? As a man thinketh, so is he, right? I do believe death and life are in the power of the tongue. I was talking to Ed. I'm going to give Ed some kudos because he schools Pastor Lenny sometimes, you know? And I was telling about some of my children and how materially blessed they are, you know, but they're not serving the Lord. And wow, it would be nice for them to serve the Lord. I could just imagine getting a, you know, my son's a millionaire. My son's, you know, and then there goes Ed. Speak it, brother. Speak it. Declare it. Declare them saved. Declare them. Declare it. Speak it. So, Ed, since Saturday, Pastor Lori and I, we've been speaking it. Because you know what? Here he goes. I don't believe in speaking just to speak. I believe in God reveals something to me, and now I can believe it in my heart and speak it with my mouth. And so now I understand. Sometimes God brings revelation to me by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God will give me, I will hear his voice. Sometimes he makes the word jump out at me. And sometimes he brings revelation. He speaks to me through you. And he spoke to me. It wasn't Ed. Ed thinks it was Ed. It wasn't Ed. It was God. God spoke to me. And now that he spoke to me.
Through Ed.
Now I believe with my heart and I speak it with my mouth. That's the difference between mental assent and something that comes from within, comes from the Spirit. So here's Jesus saying, you are rich. Amen and period. You are rich, guys. Is this okay so far? Yeah? Yeah? All right. I love you guys.
I just want to add something, what the mirror says. It doesn't say that. It says, we're at chapter 9, right? I see your hard work and your tight claustrophobic spaces and you are facing your beggarly state. Your beggarly state that you're convinced you're trapped in when, in fact, you are super rich. Not rich, super rich. Your boy says that.
You know what? He gets that from the word, abundantly supplied.
Amen.
Abundantly supplied. Amen. And so now when he's talking about the synagogue of Satan, all right, the synagogue of Satan, this is a synagogue. This is a Jewish synagogue. This, you know, whenever Paul did go to other places, he first went to the synagogues, okay, because he knew, you know, he had the Jewish brothers there. He still had a heart for the Jews, and he wanted to preach Jesus Christ, and you know, and many of them would turn to Christ, but then the Judaizers would say, no, you believe in Jesus, okay, but we're still going to be zealous to the law of Moses. So this was Jewish synagogues. This wasn't a synagogue of the devil himself, a temple that was, you know, erected for Satan worship or satanic worship or the devil. And so it's important to understand that. And then the word Satan, Satanus, comes from the word Satan. And it's not necessarily meaning a person. It's a word that indicates being attacked. It's a word that means being accused. That's why he's called the accuser of the brethren, because the word indicates someone that accuses, makes accusation and opposes. Okay? And so the Lord here is talking about these Jews. You know, this synagogue, it's of the evil mindset. It's of the wrong mindset. It's of an imprisoning mindset. And it's adverse to the mindset of the gospel of grace. And he's making reference to, and John, Jesus through John, it's either Jesus or John, he's calling them Satan. He's calling them satanic. I thought Paul was mean. When Paul called them, remember Paul? Paul called them dogs, evildoers, right? Wolves. He called them witches and warlocks. And now here's Jesus. He goes a step above Paul. He's satanic. Wow. So those Judaizers, those legalistic, those mixture, Jesus would, he has a word for them. Satanic. Oh my gosh. Wow, evildoers, ravenous wolves, dogs, witches, and warlocks. And, you know, the last thing I want to talk about is, I don't know if you guys have heard it, but you might hear it. You maybe you heard it. You probably will hear it. You know, I'm hearing it. Maybe because of my position, people keep sending me stuff, but they keep talking about the 3 days of darkness, and yesterday was the first day of darkness, and get ready because the other 2 days of darkness are coming. And these days of darkness are significant of, that's just after the third day of darkness, we're going. And so be ready. And the 3 days of darkness is a time just before the sixth seal. So you need to read Where was the sixth seal? In the book of Revelation. Oh, I got it down there. Chapter 6, verse 12 and 17. So just before the sixth seal, which is after the third day of darkness, the church is gone. And so it was ushered in, you know, with the eclipse. It's ushered in with the bad earthquakes. The 3 days of darkness is a time during the sixth seal, right before the rapture of the church. So the church will go through this, where the sun, the moon, and the stars stop shining. And this particular person was believing and teaching that also many power grids and light sources are going to stop working, which is going to usher in the second day of darkness and so on. And so I'm telling you, man is going to use whatever it can, religion is going to use whatever it can, to take us from something that is very practical, that was for people of that day, was to encourage people of that day, to make them aware of what was going to be happening in AD 70, all right, and turning it around and making it of no, the traditions of men making the word of God of none effect. And it's funny, I put down a scripture there that God gave me encouragement from. Very rarely do I go into the Old Testament. Very rarely. But here it is. The Lord then said to Moses, raise your hand toward the sky, and a darkness thick enough to be felt will cover the land of Egypt. Moses raised his hand toward the sky, and there was a total darkness throughout the Egypt for 3 days. Right? I can't believe the Holy Spirit led me here. No, I can't believe it. The Egyptians would not be able to see each other. And no one left his house during that time. Now listen to what it says. But to my sons and daughters, to my fellow believers, to my grace people, you know, it says, listen, they will have light where they live. I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. I don't care. Because my Bible says, when that happens, if it happens, if there's a power grid failure, right? If that happens and things go dark and bank, whatever, this says, God's people, that's me and that's you, will have light where they are living. Is that awesome or what?
That's very awesome.
You like that? Come on, you can shout amen, hallelujah. You look like you guys are ready to go to sleep. I'm ready to do an Irish jig, and I'm not even Irish. And then there right there is where the sixth seal is talking about there. So, you know, we're going to be looking at the next time we go, we're going to step into the next church. But there are only two churches where the Lord or John doesn't have anything negative to say about them. Like, you know what, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this. He doesn't have that warning here in the church of Smyrna. He's just telling them, you know, withstand. You got to stand. You got to stand. You got to stand. And I could just hear Paul saying the same thing. You got to stand. You got to stand. And that's what the message is, stand. And evidently, perhaps, they heeded the message and they stood. Because like I said, this church is still there in existence today where the other churches are not. So, okay. Any questions? Any questions? Any comments? Good. I just hope you guys were blessed. I like doing. I don't see any hands. I don't see any hands. Oh, there we go. Okay.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
And maybe you can speak to this. Maybe you can't. I don't know. But I think, and this is a conversation I've been having with my mom a lot lately too. Everywhere I look these days, the people that I'm listening to, the books that I'm reading or whatever, they're all pointing to exactly what you're saying, which is great. But my big problem is I know a lot of the stuff needs to be in my heart, not in my head. And I don't know sometimes how to make, or if I even made that leap from, I mean, I can tell you flat out, I believe something. Right. And I can, you know, quote stuff or do whatever. It's all because it's here. But I still have the doubt that it's not in my heart. So, like, is there a way to tell?
Well, I was listening. Or something
to do? Yeah. I mean, I know that works too, but I'm just like, I get lost sometimes between the head versus the heart. And, like, how do I drive it home?
Well, they both work together. You know, Jesus said, don't take thought by saying. So, in other words, when we say, it means we're taking it as a thought. So there is something in our confession of, I believe this, I'm speaking this, whatever, because that means we're taking thought. And as we're taking a thought, then there's a psalm, and I'm not prepared with it, but if you Google it, you find it. It says, where your tongue is a ready writer to your heart. And so, you know, if you start believing it here, and then you start speaking it, it could work, you know, opposite too, where you start to write it and it becomes fixed in your soul, that place where your mind and your spirit are joined. So it could work in that way too. Revelation could come from within, and we love that to happen, spring forth from within. But then there are also times where we're speaking what's true. It's a true revelation. And in speaking it, all right, our tongue is a ready writer, and we're speaking it, and that means we're taking thought, and then that can help the reverse, bring the revelation to from here too. And that's a matter of, you know, having right mindsets and belief systems. And I'm not, you know, as I'm teaching these things, I'm not trying to convince anybody of one way or another. It's just that all my Christian life, I've been told all these things, and I'm like, when? And there's one thing that Pastor Lenny will look for to say, okay, this is totally wrong, and get ready. And that is the abomination of desolation. And in order for the abomination of desolation to take place, okay, there has to be a temple. And until there's a temple that's built in Jerusalem, there's not going to be an abomination of desolation. So we're not at the great tribulation. We're nowhere near there. They can say that we are all they want until that temple is built. Because if it's right, a temple has to be built. And if Pastor Lenny sees tomorrow they're starting to build a temple on the exact temple spot where Solomon's temple was built and whatnot, then I'm going to have to rethink everything I've been sharing. But that ain't happening. And I don't see it happening, you know? I
agree with that. That wasn't the part that I'm talking about. Just any of the scriptures or any of the things, even like grace and stuff, you know? Like, it's not that I don't believe it in my head for stuff, but there are some things that I know need to move me further in my heart. And actually, that just you telling me that piece was very helpful. I will look that up and...
Yeah, ready writer. I mean, you know, when I had my victory cancer walk, okay, I immediately printed up all the scriptures, you know, and it was here, you know, and I believe they were there. I believe they were there, and they were all over the place, you know, every single one that I could think of, and I was commanding and I was standing, and you know, but I didn't have that peace, that peace that I had when I forgot all that, and I just shut the door. I turned on the worship music, and I just started worshiping Jesus, and I started putting my eyes on Jesus, and I just started thanking him and praising him, and he loving me and all this other stuff, and then it came. That voice, as clear as a bell, said, you will live and you will not die. You will not. And so it always happens. That's how I received all my healings and whatnot, and when that happened, it was always during a time of worship and praise for me. You know, worship and praise, and that's the only thing they'll lead people to, worship and praise. Why? Because when you're worshiping, praising Him, you're doing what Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says. You're fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and completer of your faith. When you're hearing about Jesus, that's how faith comes. When you're thinking about how he loves you, that's how faith is energized. So, you know, I would get off the commanding, and I would get off the standing, and I would get off to try to convince myself, you know, that I'm healed or this or that, and I would just think about Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. And then all of a sudden, that's when the revelation would come. So, I mean, I don't know if that answers you or helps you, but that's what I do. Begin to worship. And right now, God's blessed me with Charity Gale. I think she's just being raised. Her music is all. I love her music. I just love Charity Gale's music. Nina had her hand up.
I found that psalm.
Okay, where is it?
Psalm 45:1 about the pen being the ready writer.
Yep, our tongue being the ready writer, like a pen.
Yeah.
There you go, Psalm 45:1. All right. Yep. Any other questions?
Thank you, Nina.
You're welcome.
And then Paul, and then Jesus in Matthew chapter 6:25, he says, don't take a thought by saying. So when we say, it can help us take the thought, take it, take the thought. And as we're taking it, it becomes part of our, that place where our soul and our spirit become, you know, become fixed together.
Amen to that.
Amen. All right.